Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles, if you turn there with me. Begin reading with verse 32. Hebrews 11 and verse 32. Enjoying our journey with God. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Jason Wheels, you still in here? Where you at? Lead us in prayer and ask God's blessing on the reading of the Word, if you would, please. Amen. Thank you. People who by faith risk their lives and their resources to do God's will. The question is, will we step forth by faith, or will we hide from confrontation or battle that might cost us something to stand up for Christ? First of all, tonight, God includes in His list of what we often refer to as the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, men and women who had feet of clay just like we do. They also had, with those feet of clay, hearts of faith. And God greatly used them within their own capacities. If God expected each one of us to measure up to be like Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we'd be miserable failures. If He even expected us to be exactly like Paul or Daniel or Joseph or Job, we'd become discouraged and depressed because we fail to measure up so often. But God also used Moses, who disobeyed Him, and Aaron, who was so weak that he would have built a golden calf and led Israel back to Egypt, Sarah and Abraham, who invented their own way of creating a child instead of waiting on God's promise, and even Jacob. The Bible says his brother Esau was the man of the flesh, an unspiritual man, and Jacob represented the spiritual man. Jacob had a lot of faults. He had a lot of deceptions. He had a lot of problems. A lot of things he was wrong in. But there was a lot of things he was right in, and God greatly used him as the beginning of the nation of Israel. He changed his name to Israel when he wrestled with the Lord. So if there's hope for Jacob, there may be hope for you and I that God might smile on us and use us for His own honor and glory. David was a great king, but he had one of the greatest moral failures that exceeds most anything that is known, that he would take another man's wife while he was off fighting the battle for him and for the nation, and then have him return to try to cover up his sin, and then send the man out with a note for the captain to send him in the heat of the battle so he'd be killed, so that David could cover up his own sin of adultery with Bathsheba. God knows all about us, friends. He knows that we are but the dust of the ground. Abraham said in Genesis 18, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto you, Lord, which am but dust and ashes." Abraham, the great leader, the man who obeyed God and went on the journey, who God gave him all of the land that is to be Israel's in the kingdom, this man that failed in many ways, this man recognized he was but the dust of the ground, and that he would return to the ground from whence he came, and he asked God to allow him to speak one more time. And God let him speak until he was through. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103 with me. Psalm 103. We don't make any excuse for sin, wrongdoing, but we know we're human and we know we're weak, and what's more, God knows it too. Psalm 103 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." And then he talks about the covenant relationship with man. God knows our frame. He knows all about us. He knows our strength. He knows our weakness. He knows our faults. Matter of fact, God knows what we will do. You and I don't know what we will do, but God knows what we will do. Go back in your New Testament to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. We'll look at chapter 1 in a moment also. God has chosen us to belong to His family and to serve Him as co-laborers together in the building of His church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 9, Scripture says, "For we are co-laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." We are co-laborers together with God. God has allowed us to be laborers together with Him. As we reach people for Christ, as we build a church, as we do the work of the ministry, we're being co-laborers with God. Look back at chapter 1 and verse number 26. We're like Moses quite often. When God wants to use us, we start giving Him excuses. We think we can't speak as well as we ought to be able to, or that we're not great in our family. We're the least in our family. David was the youngest of the sons of Jesse. And you'd think normally he would choose the oldest, but he chose the youngest, just a shepherd boy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things that are which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." You see, God doesn't need us to be great. God doesn't need us to be rich. God doesn't need us to be smart. God needs us to be willing. And if we are willing for God to use us, He will receive the glory for what's accomplished. And He can enable us, because when God lays upon our heart to do something for Him, His calling is His enabling. He will enable us to do whatever He has called us to do. The world thinks it takes great armies, that it takes millions of dollars, that it takes great talent. But God knows all it takes is a willing soul. Peter was unstable. He was always putting his foot in his mouth, always doing something impetuous. But Christ changed His name to Peter, which is a rock. And Peter, he knew what Peter would become. He would become a great leader within the church. And God used him greatly at Pentecost and greatly in the planting of the church to the Jews, while He used Paul in the planting of churches to the Gentiles. When Paul had to stand before the early church that was all Jewish and tell how God had sent him to the Gentile people, it was Peter that spoke up and said, "Yes, this is true." God also had sent him to Cornelius, a Gentile, to take the gospel to him. And he saw them receive the Holy Spirit in the same way the disciples had, and so they could not forbid them from being baptized and becoming a part of the church, where Jew and Gentile would be in the church together in Christ. Our text in Hebrews tells us of several people. It mentions Gideon. Gideon, a great man of valor. But when God came to him, he was hiding behind the threshing instruments, threshing out wheat, so he could hide it from the Midianites. They were under oppression by the Midianites and under taxation by the IRS. The Midianites. And so he was hiding to thresh out some wheat so they wouldn't take it away from him. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." He's over here hiding, trying to get something done. That's my proof text when I fill out my income tax, by the way, also. You see, it was not what we are in ourselves, not what we have been, and not what we can contribute, but God who can enable us to get the victory. It's what God can use us to become, what God can do with one who yields themselves to Him. And Gideon was one who did so. Secondly, tonight, Gideon questioned, if God be for us, then why has all this befallen us, and where are all the miracles that he spoke of in Judges chapter 6 and verse 11 through 17? They were in trouble. The Midianites had conquered them, and they'd conquered them because of their sin. They turned away from God. They'd flirted with idols. They'd committed sin before God. So God allowed another nation to conquer them, to chasten them and bring them back to repentance. And Gideon says, you know, we're under this Midianite rule, and they're starving us, taking away our food. And if God is for us, then why has all this befallen us, and where are all the miracles? If we're honest, we all feel that way sometimes. We all question, you know, where is the Lord? Elisha said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he smote the waters with the mantle, the waters parted in the same way they had done for Israel to cross. And where is the Lord? The Lord's right where He's supposed to be, friends. He's on the throne. And we need to be people that believe that and trust that and are willing to serve Him in the midst of adversity. Like Moses before me questioned, "How can you choose me? I'm the least of my father's household. I'm not wealthy or famous or able." But the angel of the Lord reasoned with Gideon about God's service. And then Gideon sought to make him a goat, a kid, and unleavened cake. Now, I know people that really know how to cook can fix a goat where it tastes just as good as deer meat. And deer meat tastes just as good as goat. I'm not really that interested in eating either one of them, but I have tasted some stuff that people have made that's really good. And apparently a goat was a pretty good delicacy in that day. They must have known how to cook it, or maybe it didn't have the gamey taste that it has today. I'm not sure. Wait a minute, I got to get this out of here. Threw away my microphone. I got the amp and threw the microphone away. So he put the kid and the cake. The angel said, "Lay it on that rock over there." So he laid it on the rock, and the angel touched it with the staff, and it just went up in fire. And now Gideon gets an idea. This isn't just a man. And he falls on his face. He's afraid he's going to die because he's seen the Lord. And he has great fear. And the angel touched him and said, "Fear not." You ought to study sometime how many times in the Bible it says, "Fear not." Because when God comes, it's normal for us to fear if we get close to God. God doesn't want us to fear when He comes close to us. He wants us to listen to Him. He's going to tell us something. He's going to send us somewhere and have us do something. If a man thinks God's lucky to have him and that he has great talent and ability, that God's fortunate for him to allow him to use, he probably won't accomplish a whole lot for the Lord. But when we fall on our face and see how unworthy we are to be used of God, then God can use that. And God will use people like that to be a glory for His name. And He used Gideon to deliver Israel from Midian. Before he could go out in battle, he said, "You got to go home and make your home right first. Go home and tear down your father's idols and cut down the grove and get your home in order. And then build an altar unto God." Well, when he tore down the idols and cut down the grove, the men of the city got mad at him. You see, Israel had turned himself over. Many were in idolatry. Many were worshiping idols. Many were worshiping the idols of the Midianites to please the Midianites. And God said, "Tear down the idols and tear down the grove where they worship, and then build me an altar." And Gideon obeyed, and his own father stood against him because he had cut down the grove of his father and the idols of his father. So the men of the city came against him, but when they did, his father stood up for him. And he said, "If God hath called him to do these things, then do not oppose him. You commit to serve the Lord, and people will get upset with you. People in the world won't appreciate you. The devil gets upset when you're trying to do something from God, and they're not happy, and they stir up trouble, and they bring accusations against you, and will try to trouble you in doing the work that you're doing." The Bible says Gideon blows the trumpet of assembly for the nation of Israel. And when he blows the trumpet, the people gather themselves unto him. And old Gideon, he's still timid about what he's supposed to do. So he puts the fleece out before the Lord and he prays. You know, "God, let it be wet and then let it be dry." And he goes through this thing over and over. Finally, God gives him enough evidence and enough proof that he believes the Lord. So then he decides, "Well, if I get me a great big army, then I'll go out and fight against Midian." And so the Lord shows him it's not a great big army he needs. It's just a handful of willing souls that God can use. So next, Gideon, thinking he was needing this great army to defeat the Midianites, God sent him to cut down his army by letting them go down to the water to drink. And he said, "Every man that lays down with his hands and sips out of the water, send him back home. But any man who stoops down and scoops up the water and drinks, then that's a man to take with you in the battle." And many of you know the story, how they fought the battle and how God put fear into the enemy, and they ran against their own selves in the night, and a great victory was won because Gideon yielded himself unto God. Not because of Gideon's might or Gideon's power or Gideon's ability as a general, but because Gideon was willing to do what God would have him to do. Same was with Joshua and the children of Israel as they went against Jericho, and they marched around the city and they blew the trumpets and they shouted the great shout and the walls fell down and they defeated Jericho. But you know how we saw last that they took of the accursed thing. Achan, a man, took of the doomed objects, the dedicated things unto idols. W.R. Newell wrote, "Jericho means a fragrant place. Represents our spiritual enemies. They're strong, they're entrenched, they have appealing to the flesh." There's no doubt, as God warned in Leviticus, Israel was not to sin after the same similitude as the nations He was driving out from before them. because if they wanted to have God's blessing and God's power, then they could not sin after the manner of the nations he was driving out. In chapter 7 of Joshua, Achan is found out when they went against the little nation of Ai. They didn't send the whole troops up against them. They just sent a small group up. And they were defeated. And 36 men died. They knew something was wrong. Their self-confidence had amounted to pride in going up without seeking God in prayer. And the disobedience of Achan in stealing the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold and silver and hid it in his tent, there was sin within the camp. And it caused the whole nation to be affected, to lose the power of God and the blessing of God, because there was sin within Israel. I wonder if there's any difference in the church today. I wonder today, is the church not weak and powerless because of sin within the church? Maybe not because somebody has stolen of an accursed thing. Maybe it's like Acts chapter 5 and verse number 1, where Ananias and Sapphira wanted the prestige and the pride to say they had sold a piece of land for a sum of money, and they'd brought all the money and given it unto the Lord. Now, it was their piece of land. They didn't have to sell it. They didn't have to give the money. But when they gave the money, they could have gave any amount they wanted. But they stood up before the congregation and said, "We've given all the amount." But they lied to God. They hadn't given all the amount. They kept back a planned amount. But they wanted the prestige of giving it all. And you know the story. God struck them dead, one right after the other, right there in the church. And if God was still striking people dead for lying about what they give, I think there'd still be a whole lot of people dying today in the churches today. Hello. Thanks be to God, it hadn't been me and hadn't been you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was the problem of fornication in the church, such that Paul said he'd never heard of, never seen, that a man would have his father's wife. And the church was puffed up about it, and they weren't dealing with it, and they had to be dealt with in the church. And because that person was to be put out of the church, to be dealt with by the Lord, and the hope is always in church discipline that they will be reconciled unto God and restored in their walk with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 8, Scripture says, "Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But here's where we were, friends. Verse number 11 says, "Such were some of you, but ye are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." See, it doesn't matter about your past. When God saves you and cleanses you and takes you out of that life, the important thing is that we don't try to live that life and say we're living for God at the same time. That would be a lie. And that would be deception. And that would be like Ananias and Sapphira. Or that would be like those who've done that thing in other ways, like Achan, who took the Babylonian garment and robbed Israel of their power with God. Later, when they get dealt with Achan and they repented of their sin, and then they sent a great host back up to Ai and they won the victory. Do you know what happened when they won the victory at Ai? God said, "Take of the spoil. You can have the spoil." You see, he told them at Jericho, "Don't take the spoil." And only one man disobeyed, and that was Achan. If Achan had just waited until the next battle, God allowed them to take the spoil in the second battle. And you see, that's a lot of the way sin is that people just get tired of waiting on God. Wait for the husband. Wait for the wife. Wait for the job. Wait for God to give you the place of leadership. Wait until you're prepared. and pray and trust the Lord, because He knows when the time is right far better than you and I do. It's no wonder the church is powerless today. No wonder we can't defeat our enemies. It's not just when we get ready to partake of communion that we need to draw close to God and confess our sin and forsake our sin. That's something we need to do on a regular basis. We need His cleansing every day. Let us not wait for a defeat to come along that causes us to recognize we don't have the power of God. Let us cleanse ourselves so that we can keep God's power working on our behalf. Seek God afresh every day. Don't wait for a great loss to come before we seek Him. 36 men died at Ai because of one man's disobedience. People often say, "I'm not hurting anybody but myself." Well, that's just not true when it comes to sin. It's especially not true in the church or in the nation of Israel. They removed the one that was guilty of the accursed thing, and after this, they followed God's direction, and they destroyed Ai, and they took the spoil, and they were able to enjoy the blessings that God had given unto them. Well, I don't know if you caught it, but when we read through Hebrews, one of the things that sticks out to me in that passage is the Bible says, of all those people that did these mighty things, the world was not worthy of them. These people that gave their lives for God, served the Lord, some died under persecution. There are Christian brethren around the world suffering persecution today, my friends. We are so blessed to have the blessings that we have here in the United States of America, the freedoms and liberties that we still enjoy. But there are Christian people around the world that are under persecution, and we need to pray for them, and we need to ask God to lift them up, and we need to do what we can do in reaching them before it's too late. Well, I thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for God's Word. Let's all stand together and have a song and see if God's dealt with our hearts tonight.